represented the planning committee on the chancellor's proposed budget reductions. We will begin with the section on the hearing that's devoted to the Mary Reed Ross Media Arts Center. I would invite, we have quite a few people testifying on behalf of the Ross, and we'll begin with Professor Dreher, who will begin the testimony.
To the committee and interested parties, I want to talk about how we can generate a more vested interest in the director of the Mary Reed Ross Media Arts Center, Danny Lavely, from across disciplines and from the university's hierarchy. Under Lavely's directorship, the Ross has had profitable attendance and a variety of films and events hosted there. It is my belief that the university and its academic community, as well as the community at large, can be served if we focus specifically on these events and ask exactly what made them work. On what model can we build upon the successes orchestrated by Danny Lavely? By asking these questions, we can form liaisons with the Ross and brainstorm to come up with creative ways to continue to nurture a healthy attendance at this venue. I offer that we can build upon the director's accomplishments. Specifically, this past April, the Ross collaborated with the African American and African Studies program to host the biennial Blacks in Film Festival. This, after a most successful launch of the festival in 2007. At the Ross, the festival benefited the University of Nebraska student body. But more important, this event created a venue for dialogues to continue between the academic community and Lincoln's growing diverse group of residents. This year, the festival attracted members from several African communities, Ethiopia, Kenya, Sudan, and Nigeria. Our collaboration with Lavely also made possible the bridge between the scholarly and community criticism of Black cinema and Blacks in film, and provided the audience with some tools to think about cinema as more than just entertainment. Danny Lavely has screened several films that have been well attended and therefore brought in substantial revenue. Bowling for Columbine, Rabbit Proof Fence, King of the Corner, based on a short story written by our own creative writer, Gerald Shapiro, with a strong attendance. Slumdog Millionaire, Fahrenheit 9/11, Capote, Prairie Home Companion, The Piano, Moon. There are more, and I mention these specifically to bring to relief that something worked and worked well. To the committee, I ask that we concentrate on what made these particular hosted events work. How can we do this? By building liaisons between the Academy, the Ross, and the Lincoln community at large. We need to understand, in addition, that Lavely has to manage the ebb and flow of revenues, and oftentimes his efforts are undermined because of competition with commercial theaters. For example, the Ross program for screening the popular Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It was a little known film at the time, but when it opened in New York in 2003, the film realized robust box office receipts and audience interest to such an extent that the film's distributor, Sony Pictures Classic, took it away from the Ross and distributed it to a commercial theater here in Lincoln. Danny argued long and hard to get Sony to allow him to open the movie as well, all to no avail. These corporate film distributors always have first choice of the releases, and since the Ross is located on a college campus, many films, in particular those released by the major studios, are off limits as far as open to the public screenings are concerned. This competitive fact, then, positions Lavely to scramble for ways to recoup this revenue loss. I suggest a discussion of the ways in which we can prevent or shield the Ross from this kind of commercial intervention. In addition, The Ross is a jewel, and one that Lately carefully has made into a reputable film art house. My observation, however, begs the question, what opportunities can we use as a university to build upon our relationship with the Ross, generate more revenue, and in the process, strengthen our commitment to diversity? I suggest a stronger interface between the Academy and the director, Danny Lately, utilizing, for example, on-campus visits by visiting speakers. Every year, the university sponsors visits of several noted scholars and politicos. F.W. de Klerk, former state president of apartheid South Africa, Nwando Achebe, daughter of the late novelist Chinua Achebe, Mary Piper, Winona LaDuke, Native American activist, Houston Baker, African American literary scholar, part of the visiting Robert Knoll lecture series, just to name a few. These visitations created myriad opportunities for collaboration and coordination between the Academy and the Ross to show films in conjunction with these on-campus appearances. In closing, these suggestions, if considered, will take time and commitment in order to put into place. Let us build on the successes that Danny Lately has made possible via his leadership and programming at the Ross. We, you and I, the Academy, need to understand and then replicate what made these events attractive to all of our communities. We must stay the budget cut and consider how we best can utilize what we have in our house. What we have, our director, Danny Lately, what we have is the Ross. And the Ross should create a buzz. We should be creating a buzz around the Ross, its director, generating a vivacious interest among all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Graham. Actually, Professor?
Listen,
I think what we'll do is, because of the four of your testimony, since there's some time, maybe we can ask questions right now. I have one, and that is that you mentioned the role of the Ross in terms of, maybe you're the wrong person to ask on this, I don't know, but in terms of these commercial theaters, I guess that these contracts are not binding then when they win something like the commercial film is sought by the Ross and scheduled to go in. Apparently that's not a binding commitment on the part of the vendor, is that correct?
I don't know if it's correct. That is a detail that will need to be discussed with the director.
Okay. And if I understand, could you explain to me a little bit more how what you're talking about fits the fundamental core mission of the university?
Well, I think that, for one thing, we are living in a global community now. We have access to these communities via our technology now. And the Ross comes into play with that through the kinds of programming, through the kinds of films that they that are shown and screened at the Ross. And it also lets our students know that we are not living in an isolated community. Our communities are growing. They're elastic, right? And through our teaching in the classroom, they are getting access to different kinds of communities, right? Different kinds of people, right? And the Ross complements what we are doing in the classroom by showing the diverse films that they show.
Miles?
I'm curious, you direct the Blacks in Film Project.
I'm co-chair of the Blacks in Film Project.
And so talk a little bit about how you as a professor use that in your teaching and your scholarship, how this becomes a resource, how the Ross becomes a resource for you.
Well, the Blacks in Film Festival was created from a part of the curriculum that we were expanding in the Department of English. We wanted to expand our film studies. And so the Blacks in Film Festival was extended from my classroom. And what we wanted to do was to engender an interactive, a learning environment that would include the community in how to look at film, how to read film as a text, right? Not just as something that is entertainment. And when you can look at it that way, the committee felt that we could give the community tools in which to look at film. And also, looking at Blacks in film, which could certainly question and complicate the kinds of narratives that have been appropriated or that have been talked about when it comes to people of color, when it comes to what is dramatized and how people of color are indeed dramatized or narrativized in film. And when you have these kinds of dialogue, especially in a place like Nebraska, you can certainly complicate and disengage or break down those common sense notions that students may have about different peoples and different places. And so, and showing it at the Ross rather than at another venue certainly opened it up to not only the students, but to the community at large.
Where would you see this going in the future? I'm particularly interested in how this fits into what we do for students on this campus.
Well, this is still a work in progress right now. And we're still working. We're probably working on adding a conference end, a conference arm to this film festival. And this will allow students to be a part of the conference process, to listen and to hear what scholars are saying, how people talk about film, because we will have panels. And this is what we had with our film festival. We had scholars from Creighton, from UNO, from Doane, from Nebraska Wesleyan, from the UNL campus, who were part, and from Lincoln High School. The Lincoln High Schools were part of this, as part of our outreach for the film festival. And students will come, and they would hear how people are talking about film, the ways in which they construct arguments about film, around film. And so this was a very, very nuanced teaching tool, right, that we used, and that I thought served the community very well, judged by our comments.
Jeff? I have two questions. How does your cost structure compare, let's say, to the, I'm not going to want to use the word legitimate, but the other area venues where people would go, are your costs competitive, or are they lower? Or to get in, obviously, you pay something to go into the roster.
Well, we have generated revenue from our grant writing, from the Woods Charitable Trust and also the Nebraska Humanities Council. One of the things that they, that's how we generated our revenue, and from across disciplines at the UNL, there were departments that contributed to our revenue for this festival. So the university was very much so involved in generating interest as well as revenue for this festival.
You may not be the right one to ask this, but as you were talking about one festival, with the number of students now around the state, specifically in Lincoln, I know they're taking Spanish because they have to get another, they have to have a language to get into UNL now. Has the Ross ever tried to outreach to the Spanish area and have a festival on Spanish art or something like that, kind of tie in with high school students that are taking another language?
I think my colleague, Amelia Montez, would be better able to speak to that. I do not know that the Ross has hosted a Berlin Film Festival that was chaired by my colleague, Marco Abel, and also a Native American Film Festival that was held.
Thank you. So we're looking at the director position, right. And I remember when the Ross was the Shelton Film Theater, and we called it mostly foreign film,
right,
for color, right? And it really has developed a lot since then. And how did people suggest to the director, is there a record of how, because Danny, I knew him a long time ago, he picked out the movies. And now, I guess there's a procedure for people recommend films. Does a committee make those decisions now? Who
yes.
decides, and how far ahead can they, I mean, they plan ahead and know?
There is a film selection committee on which I am a member, and there are other members across disciplines who are on that committee. And what Danny does is he sends us a suggested list of films, and we then get back with a synopsis, a show synopsis of films, and then we make our recommendations to Danny.
Does he travel then to your festivals to find out more about these films, or how is he informed?
It is my understanding that he does, and one of the film festivals that he goes to, I know, is the Telluride Film Festival.
So I know from looking at the New York Times every Sunday, there are a lot more films than any one theater can ever show. So the committee, do you vote then on if there's ever a decision to be made about the film?
Yes, the committee makes its recommendation to Danny lately, and it's my understanding that he goes through each recommendation and then takes the ones that are most recommended by the members.
Thank you, Professor. There's, oh, I'm sorry.
Is there a cost to students participating in these festivals? The festivals for the Black Student Film Festival, did students have to pay in order to participate?
No.
No. Thank you, Professor Dreher. I was hoping for a fade out to Professor Montez on the question that you stand up, but we'll fade out to her anyway. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon to all of you. I'm director of the Institute of Ethnic Studies and also an associate professor in the English department. Some of my remarks I'm going to be quoting from my colleague in English, Marco Abel. And also, I just want to reiterate that, as you notice, there are three of us from the Institute here. And a number of us are here because not solely for the Institute. I want to make sure that you understand that the Institute of Ethnic Studies represents seven academic departments within the College of Arts and Sciences. Those departments are English, History, Anthropology, Psychology, Sociology, Political Science, Modern Languages. All seven of those departments and more are influenced by the Mary Rigma Ross, because within the Institute, we reach out in interdisciplinary ways to these departments, to the students, so that they may come to the Ross free of charge, as Dr. Dreher explained, so that they may get credit in their courses for various subjects that are being taught that connect in interdisciplinary ways with film. In my courses, I not only teach literature, and I know other departments also teach history, psychology, etc., along with film. Film is very important in our courses, in our classes, and to have students be able to go to the Ross free of charge to be able to partake is of vital importance. I was hired here because the University of Nebraska-Lincoln sought someone like me to help you diversify. I'm looking around here, and I ask you to look around at yourselves on this committee. Are you diverse? Notice that the people in the audience who are to speak, there are three people of color who are coming to talk to you about keeping Danny Laidley's salary in place. Why? Because his salary, his work, give us the tools to help this university become diverse. And that is why we are here, because if you want us, if you want to help us diversify and help people understand that diversity is important, you need to help us continue to have the tools to educate the students. And this is of utmost importance. You are proposing a Rietma Ross budget cut of $50,585. In your narrative justification for this cut, you are saying that this proposed action means you do not deem the Ross integral to academic programs across campus, thus peripheral to the core mission of the university. I must disagree wholeheartedly with you as director of the Institute and representing these seven departments who also reach out to other departments across the campus. The Ross is not only the institution of the only institution of its kind in Lincoln, but Danny lately has done an incredible job programming films and sponsoring them. Dr. Dreher just talked about a number of films that have come to the Ross. I want to talk, and I think it was Jeff, you were asking about Latinos, because I'm in the program of Latino and Latino Studies. I brought this book. This book is a book about a Latina Chicana film writer, Lourdes Portillo. She is an Academy Award nominated Chicana Latina filmmaker. Danny Lately put on a week retrospective of her work. Lourdes Portillo came here. We had a huge Latino showing, and that was an impact in Latino studies. She not only spoke for the Institute for Ethnic Studies, but also for Women and Gender Studies, and also journalism. I haven't even mentioned journalism. Journalism is huge. John, you're part of news editorial. You know how important that is. And this is the example I'm going to give you. There are many more, but I don't want to take up too much time. But Lourdes Portillo's presence was very important here. Lourdes Portillo's presence is still being felt because her main documentary is on the murders at the border of Juarez and El Paso, which I hope very much you're familiar with. About since 1992, over 600 women have been killed on the border. And the community is very interested in this subject as well. And we are also reading literature, even still in classes today, such as Desert Blood by Alicia Gaspar de Alba, that talks about the murders. One of the great novels that has just been translated into English, 2666 by Roberto Bolaño, a main part of that 900-page novel is on the murders, okay? You think that it may not impact Lincoln? It does, because the murders are all about the drug running, about the complex issue between the United States and Mexico and what's happening with the drug wars over there. It's coming here, and you know very well that that whole impact, political impact, is here, and our students need to know about it and hear about it. So that is just one example. Also, your argument with regard to core value, E, engagement with academic, business, and civic communities throughout Nebraska and the world, R, research and creative activity that inform teaching, foster discovery, and contribute to economic prosperity and our quality of life. Our university program is so engaged with these civic communities. The Ross offers so much for the public at large. When I talk to people at different venues like Ideal Groceries, Open Harvest, just, you know, when we're in Hy-Vee, people are talking about these films. With regard to Core Value R, I also want to remind you of the success of the film program housed in the English department. With three core faculty in English, they serve 100 majors. 100 majors. this is huge what Danny Lavely does. I also want to press upon the fact that Danny Lavely is here also, and we have a new theater because of the connections he had with Mary Rigma Ross. There's a donor issue here. Cutting this will also send a message to future donors. I, for one, if I were a donor, I'd say, I don't know if I want to give money to the Ross, because who knows? I'm writing down what I want that money to go to, and now they're going to cut this person who I'm connected with? I don't know. So I wanted to reiterate these three issues.
Professor Montes, I would like to point out to you that these are the Chancellor's recommendations, not this committee's.
Okay. Please tell the Chancellor.
Yeah. Just don't want you holding us responsible for them until at least we make a recommendation on them. So.
And I am expecting that you will say, she said this, okay? And especially about diversity. Because okay, if these are the Chancellor's cuts, which I know I'm aware of.
I think I'm going to bite into the question answer time that follows and simply append it now so we can deal with each of you as you testify. So any queries?
I have a question. And this gets to the third point you spoke about. That was the donor issue. And this, looking at the letter that you sent, and it says you want to address the fact that the construction of the Ross Theater is due to donor money.
Right.
And then at the end of that, you say to go against the donor's wishes and cut important funding is of serious concern. Mm-hmm. Then on the next page, at the end, however, we do want to make sure we leave this hearing with a clear understanding of how it is that a university can go against or can ignore donor requests. Mm-hmm. So, was it your understanding that UNL would provide state funding continuously as part of that donor relationship?
I am to understand that Mary Rigma Ross, in her donation, specifically mentioned the friendship and respect she has for Mr. Lavely, who, along with Norman Geske, who was the past director of the Shelton, worked hard to secure this donation. And this is what I mean. If I was working hard with two people, gave a donation, and saw that suddenly that one person I respected and was friends with, and you know, and saw that person as the direct connection with what I'm building for the university be cut, I would have a problem. That's what I'm talking about. Did I answer?
Yes.
Amelia, may I ask a question? As a director of ethnic studies who offers courses where students do see films, do students pay a fee, a course fee, for the expenses that are involved in bringing those films to the university?
No, they do not.
Okay. So there isn't any revenue that comes from the students to the Ross to cover those expenses?
No, there is no. Well, no, there is not.
So the English department has a film program, but there's no course that brings in tuition that's relative that somehow reflects money back. Well, there's no, I mean, it sounds like it's almost like a laboratory for that particular part of the film studies, and therefore a department should be putting money toward it, it seems to me. But there is nothing in the English department that does that?
No, there is not.
Okay. We'll have you testify later.
Actually, it's to answer that question.
Okay. Oh.
I think it should be clear that the film studies program actually does put money into the use of that theater. They do it directly now from them to the cost of the to show the studies. And from then to some dollars to back to the theater, about 300 change the semester now with flexibility in the summer, which assisted the maintenance. But of all the other student programs that have been mentioned today, there's no direct revenue. There has been some event-by-event revenue, but when you think about the revenue that comes in when the theater is being used for, particularly after 5 o'clock, when it's being used for any of these events, we lose the revenue in some cases that would normally come from the film we show there, because we are showing specific films here. I mean, it's just to understand how that sort of works.
Okay.
Jack, do you ever think of doing, let's say, what we do? We have a lab course. We charge a fee for the lab or a fee for a trip fee or something like that. Maybe the same thing could be used to the people that are taking advantage of this after hours. We do it daily.
Well, in fact, let me get back to that when I have a chance, because I do want to address a couple of things mentioned here today, which I think are great, great ideas as we move ahead. From my point of view, we haven't done enough collaboration between the Ross and the Russell community for lots of good reasons, which I'll talk about.
Right.
Can you clarify also that film studies students pay a fee along with a lab fee, along with the course, the film studies courses they take, and they, as well as paying tuition for their courses. And the English department, as Dr. Oliva said, pays aesthetics and media college plan performing arts for projectionists, every hour of projectionists, and projector bulbs that our film studies courses use. And we no longer, for film studies, have any special films in the after 5 o'clock, after 4:40 or something like that.
I have one other question. Are similar fees charged for the other programs that have fees, have films at the Ross outside of film studies? Oh, you don't know, because you just know about film studies.
We have no other direct revenue in that sense on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. There's quite a number of units that use the theater at this point.
Who do not pay those fees?
There's no levy in that sense. We have to derive some income from one or two of the one-off events, but it's been as a result of what we see, how much money is there, and some money is given to us. And this is something we're looking at in terms of the future of theater in general, in terms of better managing the resources we have, in terms of cementing with some sort of a structure the actual connection with the academic.
Okay, I think we shall continue. Thank you, Professor Munford. Professor Vance.
Good afternoon. As a new kid on the block, writing at Western more than a year ago, I don't yet have the experiences of my colleagues from which to speak about the Ross Center. So I will speak from those experiences that I have to date. Were you there during the spring of 2008 when the Ross featured Persepolis? Persepolis, which won the Cannes Film Festival's Jury Prize, the British Film Institute's Southern Award, and an Academy Award nomination for Best Animated Feature Film of the Year, tells the story of the 1979 Iranian Revolution and follows the Shah through the youthful eyes of Marji Stratrakhi. I hope you were there. Were you there in February or March of this year when the Ross featured Waltz with Bashir, which won several awards, including the Golden Globe's Best Foreign Film Award and six offer Israeli Academy Awards, or during March or April of this year when the Ross featured The Class, Entre les Murs, en français, in French. The Class is also an award-winning film. It is about schooling inequalities in France. Were you there on Sunday afternoon when a group of professors, high school teachers, and students, and Lincoln community members had an engaging discussion about schooling inequalities in France and Nebraska? I hope you were there. I was. Were you there for the Blackson Film Festival, Reel to Reel, during April of 2009, when Salim Amin and Ross Payne, two vibrant and engaging film producers, showed their films and discussed their film work with the audience during the question and answer period? Or when Professor T.J. Deschaubie from CUNY wove his research and scholarship about African history and fighting forms into a discussion that followed When We Were Kings, a documentary about world-famous boxer Muhammad Ali? Danny Lately is the central link for all of these events. I hope you were there for these and other engaging, stimulating, sobering films and events featured at the Ross. I was there for several of these events, and I raved about them. I bragged with friends and colleagues from the Washington, D.C. area from which I just came a little more than a year ago. I said, Lincoln, Nebraska has a movie theater, a media arts center that features innovative independent films, and it's right on UNL's campus. I raved and I bragged and then raved some more. The Ross is indeed Mary Rietma Ross's and Danny Lee Lately's dream come true. There's also a dream come true for myself and for other faculty. At the Ross, we encounter sociological issues like schooling inequalities, ethnic group conflict, and social movements, not in mere lecture form, but in visual form. We encounter images of humanity that both make the soul shudder and the heart leap for joy. As a sociologist and a coordinator of the African American and African Studies program of the Institute for Ethnic Studies, I need concrete examples like the Ross and dedicated individuals like Danny Lately, for whom the word diversity is no mere noun, but an action word. Since my arrival at UNL during the spring of 2008, colleagues at other universities have teased me about teaching in the corn. These colleagues, whom I know well, span several universities, including the University of Maryland, College Park, Princeton and Harvard, the University of Illinois, both Chicago and Urbana-Champaign campus, the University of Minnesota at Duluth, the University of Texas, and Georgetown University, just to name a few. I name these universities not to impress you, but to impress upon you that I need to be able to brag about UNL's commitment to diversity. Sociological studies reveal that it is in part through professional acquaintances and contacts that job openings are filled, that graduate students and faculty seek out academic homes. If I am to be a part of enhancing UNL's diversity, I need to be able to brag. I need to be able to point out, I need to be able to showcase examples of diversity at UNL. To my delight, immediately upon arriving at UNL during the spring of 2008, I began to brag from experience about UNL. I bragged about the LEAD Center. I bragged about the Institute for Ethnic Studies. I bragged about the Culture Center. And I have frequently bragged about the Ross because I frequently watch powerful feature films and moving documentaries there. Now I am deeply concerned about UNL's commitment to diversity. Like diversity, commitment must be also an action word reflected in resource allocations, like salaries. Unfortunately, in the wake of Initiative 4.24 and the dismantling of affirmative action, I've been bragging less and less. I spent my summers in Sweden, and last summer I strongly believed that UNL valued diversity. This summer, while in Sweden, working at Lund University and the University of Gothenburg, as usual, my colleagues asked me about my new university, about UNL. I'm like, last summer, this summer, I didn't brag, but expressed concerns. I shared my concerns about Initiative 424, the cancellation of Bill Ayer's visit, budget cuts that were imminent. I said, time and UNL actions will tell if diversity is indeed a core commitment in deeds and actions at UNL. My heart sank upon returning from Sweden when I read the statement about a $50,000 plus budget cut looming over the Ross, and it sank even more when I read that the Ross was, quote, not integral to academic programs across the campus and thus peripheral to the core mission of the university. Yes, my heart sank. Please allow me to quote my colleague, Marco Abel, who is currently in Berlin, Germany, and the Associate Professor of English and Film Studies, because I share Professor Abel's sentiments. If the university were truly serious about promoting core values, says Professor Abel, such as diversity of ideas and people, it is really difficult to see how the university hierarchy can claim the Ross as peripheral to UNL's core mission. The programming for the Ross exhibits incredible awareness of the need to offer our students and Nebraskans the chance to access visual representations of peoples and of the world precisely because this is what the mainstream theater, such as the Grand Theater, failed to do. If it were not for the Ross and its programming, our students and larger community would never discover many of the films, filmmakers, and film movements, and diverse peoples they engage. Furthermore, the Ross's diverse programming is renowned throughout the country, where it is known as one of the premier art house theaters you can find anywhere in the U.S. Many of my film studies colleagues, says Professor Abel, at other institutions such as Indiana University, Dartmouth, University of Missouri, University of California, Davis, University of South Carolina, and Penn State, to name but a few, repeatedly expressed their astonishment to me about how much the Ross does. As I close, you see, those of us who were there, those of us who come from various departments and institutes, like myself, Professor Abel, like my colleagues, Professors Montez and Dreher, we use the facilities of the Ross. Through Danny Lately's hard work, our bragging, and other factors, the Ross has a national and cross-national, international reputation. It facilitates UNL's position within both the local and the global community. We were there at the Ross, and would like to be there for decades to come. Please don't take away my national and cross-national bragging rights about UNL's commitment to diversity. It is inappropriate and unjust to ask me and others committed to diversity to enhance and build upon diversity initiatives without adequate resources to do so. The Mary Rieckmann Ross Media Arts Center, Danny Lately's work and salary are a vital part of that toolkit. Thank you. And by the way, though I have not used the Ross with my own courses, because I've only taught graduate students so far, I can't wait to get my hands on the Ross's offerings for this semester, as I teach a course called Race and Nationality within the Sociology Department.
Thank you, Professor Betts. Questions? What else?
So is it a teacher in the corn, as you put it?
As well, I'm quoting colleagues. Teaching in the corn. I enjoy.
Would you comment a little bit about how you see the Ross as a resource for you as a professor working with Nebraska students?
Yes. I think that some things engage us intellectually through what we hear, and others engage us through what we see visually, what makes us move. At the University of Maryland, from where I came, we had a hugely successful event with the movie Crash, and during which the artist program sponsored an evening of discussion, because this was such a moving visual display of racism in its common day aspects. And these were things that the students were eager to discuss. And this movie, this visual form, grabbed them in a way that one of my lectures never could, although I think I'm a quite entertaining lecturer.
Indeed you are. I guess it would seem reasonable that students that are interested in film, of course, and in a film program would indeed attend, but how do these affect the broader student community? Is there any evidence that the Ross impacts just the student wandering down the mall and maybe sees an ad here and there for a film?
Well, this is what I will quote what my colleague, Mr. Dreher, just said. The Ross as a jewel needs to be on the tips of all of our tongues. It can't just be on the tips of the diverse faculty's tongues, because we are sometimes too quickly dismissed as having a vested interest. We as a community all have a vested interest in these topics. And so I very much believe that if we really kind of speak to the power that is the Ross, the visual power that it offers, we will get more and more of those just students who maybe aren't ethnic studies majors or aren't sociology majors coming through the doors.
Thank you, Professor Dennis.
Thank you.
The next testimony is from Dr. Tetrell.
As I said in my letter as well, I do not envy your task. I am approaching this from a slightly different perspective because I am in student affairs. But working with lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and allied programs and services, this position was created originally without budget. And so the budget that is available is pretty minimal because it's had to be kind of taken bits and pieces. And so I don't have a lot of money to do programming. And we do have a resource center. So there's those basic costs you have to cover, like a phone, a data portal, copy, student staff, those kinds of things, which again doesn't leave much for resources like buying books or films. So when I am able to get things, it's usually something that I've gotten a deal on, from whether that's free to something that's on sale or that I've been able to get through collaborative efforts. Because other than my students, I'm basically my program. So we have to work collaboratively, and we've been very fortunate to have Danny and the Ross available as a way to work collaboratively to provide education through a non-academic means. So over the years, there have been various things that Danny has done. And I don't want to, this isn't really just about LGBTQA programs and services for me, because I believe that you have to deal with all aspects of diversity in order to be inclusive. And so it's, while this is affecting my program directly, I think that it's important to acknowledge that international culture, pretty much any culture that exists, there is some kind of filming that happens at the Ross to help educate, not just to provide support for underrepresented groups, but also to help educate the larger student body as well as the larger community. And so I'm going to go back to focus on LGBTQA programs and services, because how this affects my program is, if one, Danny's contributions to the university have been amazing. And sometimes the vision of a person and the work that person does really would not be done in the same way or to the same extent if it was being done by someone else. And so the Ross Media Arts Center's existence, I believe, is a direct relation to Danny Lately being the person who was directing that. So that it moved from the Sheldon to a new building. And that is also why there has been the inclusive scope of diversity and award-winning films that would otherwise not ever come to Lincoln. And I believe that that is education. We've had LGBT film fells at the Ross. We have shown a variety of films that would never have been seen if it weren't for the Ross. And we've at times had smaller audiences, but at other times we've also been able to fill the theaters and been provided the opportunity to include question and answer periods or panels after those movies that a majority of the attendees will stay in order to talk about that film. Sometimes there's a lot of intersections. So when a Chinese, names are not my strong point always, but I believe it was Arthur Dong. And so he was doing Chinese film, but he is also a gay filmmaker. So we were provided the opportunity also to have a greet and meet for students with that filmmaker. And that didn't cost my program anything. This coming fall, Barry Sandler, who is a gay screenwriter, will be coming at no charge to UNL. But with the support of the Ross, in order to pay his travel expenses to get here, who will be doing a seminar on LGBT representation in film. And we've shown other movies like Transgeneration, In Good Conscience, which deal with social issues like the intersection of faith and being LGBT, in a country that stands for one thing but acts in a different way, and in a state that has amended its constitution not only to ban affirmative action now, but in 2000 to say that we don't even recognize that same-sex relationships exist. So having someone who helps provide that education and to have that as a resource, I think is extremely important, not just to the LGBTQ and ally community, but to the larger community as well. Because the visibility makes a difference, and the willingness for the collaboration over time is important as well. And I think that those contributions are extremely important, and that I know this is not the intent, but to have somebody who's made those kinds of contributions and to have their salary be cut because it's not considered enough of a benefit or direct educational aspect of the institution is representative of the fact that while we're all expendable, it seems like we're a little bit too quick to say that some things just aren't worth the money. And I think that being able to raise the money to operate the ROS as Danny has done has been amazing, but it's not always easy to get grant money to fund salaries, especially when it comes to things like art and education, which is partly why this group is here. Because we're not, as a country or a state, willing to fund what we say we value. And so, again, I do not envy your job. I know cuts have to be made. I would encourage you to try not cut this. I would hate to see Danny or the Ross suffer as a result of that, because I think that it's an amazing resource that is unique, very unique. And I recognize that we are shifting more and more to a business model, but if there's that, okay, you have to now start charging this other aspect of the university in order for you to get money. The university then has to come up with money to be able to pay that other unit for its use. So if I'm charged for use of the ROS, I have to figure out where to get that money from in order to pay the ROS. And so there's also that aspect to the budget cuts that really don't end up saving the university money unless you're really willing to lose something.
Question? Thank you, Dr. Fisher. Let's see. I think we are finished with the scheduled speakers. Dean Oliva?
Yeah. You'll permit me. I didn't come to argue or defend. I primarily saw my role today is trying to answer questions that you might have and maybe explain some things a little further. But in listening to everybody, I thought I'd make a few comments and then please feel free to ask any questions that you like. First is being a dean and being immensely concerned about the academic health of the disciplines in our college, but also the disciplines on this campus. I could put myself on any side of this argument, particularly the side that looks at the academic conversations that we've had. Let me start by saying first that Danny does a spectacular job from the standpoint of programming his creativity. He and I talk about that all the time, and there's nobody that disputes that. Number two, I want to applaud and thank the people that stepped up today to say what they said and how they said it. Because as a dean, thinking in terms of curriculum and in terms of programs and degrees and so on and so forth, there were some very articulate and passionate and intense things said here that for any of the, if I was in a position to defend my discipline to music, for example, I can appreciate that immediately. And in fact, in a position to defend any of the academic programs in our college, you can understand the passion that you brought to that. So I sort of see my role today is to sort of look at two different aspects of this, different but related, and then answer any questions that you have. The connection, the issue that presents a problem as I look at it from the outside is the definition of peripheral as opposed to peripheral. And I think the challenge, as I looked at that, and I'll take that responsibility, for our college, looking at options with budget reductions. For me, in looking at peripheral, it was less about unimportant versus important, and more about primarily the first and foremost thing our college needs to do and every dean needs to do is your students that pay tuition, you have things come for degree programs, you have faculty that need to teach those, you have facilities you need to support. And so, in the case of academic programs, if the question for me came to look at a faculty member who is a tenured or in a tenure track that's delivering a program that students have paid tuition that have come here and have to make that decision one way or the other, it would be more difficult for me to say, okay, we eliminate this program. Because from the standpoint of our particular college, it's academic mission on the majors side, I have to look very carefully at that. But it's a very delicate thing because when I look at all the examples that were mentioned today, and there were some that were not mentioned today, I think in the College of Architecture, for example, the high lecture series, there are quite a number of ways in which the work that's done at the Ross is very integral to individuals. But I think the point that came out today, and I'm glad that it came from others because I reinforced that, I think one of the shortcomings and I don't say this in a negative way, it's just been the evolution of the theater at the time, is that where we feel collectively, Dan and I have talked about this, ways in which we could strengthen the campus connection with the Ross is to have more than just half a dozen or a dozen people who do wonderful programs that are one-off a year, and maybe then summer courses, and then we have club studies, but have a much wider involvement across the campus. When we look at the students who pay admission, contrasting the amount of revenue we get from wider ticket sales or not, and the overhead. And even if I were to look at the percentage of students from our college, arts and sciences, or any one of the units mentioned today, get more direct benefit on an event-by-event basis than students from our college specifically. I think there's a challenge there for our college, both within my faculty and in terms of the way we look at the role. So, on the academic core piece, I think there's ways in which to strengthen that. Marquito made some very good points in which I agree with. And I'm certainly willing, as we continue to work through this, to sit down with the deans and see is there a much more formal structure that we could have with faculty in your programs, in your particular colleges, with particular events. And yes, maybe if some of them could generate a little revenue, not necessarily to pay a salary for somebody who's there, but just show a sense of ownership. In other words, if it has value, we in our society, certainly in the university, if it has value, we put some monetary piece on it. I mean, nobody would dispute that there is no cost to the theater for utilities. Now, I know we all sort of live in that world where we don't pay utilities, but the utilities for the theater are considerable. So, and nobody disputes that. The theater is used for general education courses, so there's a trade-off. The university is getting, for that investment, the university is getting opportunities to teach courses and so on and so forth. So on the issue of relevance to the core, I think rather than looking at it negatively, And I can certainly appreciate how your reactions, I'm not being in any way critical of the reactions and the comments that were made today. I respect them, I think they're terrific. But I think let's use that energy to think about ways in which to engage the wider campus in a more formal way. Everybody in their own way sort of said that in one way, shape, or another. And I'll sort of come back to that maybe. The other side is the more practical. And in fact, what you might not be aware of, $50,000 is $50,000. But one of the things we've been working with Dan, and Dan Cassie, who is our business manager, have been very supportive on this, is looking at ways in which we manage the budget we have, regardless of where it comes from. And in fact, the net impact of this reduction will not be $50,000. It'll be more in the area, immediate area, of about $30,000, which our college will cover in a sliding scale for the next 5 years. Why? Because as a dean, not personally, but as a dean, I believe in the importance of the Ross for this campus. And I think there are ways in which to buy some time and re-engage or newly engage some people to make much stronger connections. So we've worked with Dan, and in fact, just around the same time as the chancellor announced the reduction, we were looking at models. And the model that we have right now projects over the next 5 years with a reduction in some of the budgeted expenses, the costs, at least some of the items we spend the money on, of all the dollars we have, and there are some, number one, and looking at it from a business model, when it's appropriate to raise ticket prices, to raise concession prices, also to engage perhaps in some sponsoring some events that will bring in some revenue. And with the immense generosity of the Friends of the Ross, nobody mentioned them today, and I think it's important to mention them. They've been here with Dan forever. They contribute to date almost $40,000 a year on an annual basis. The budget for the Ross without Dan's salary is about $325,000. The Friends contribute about $40,000 to that. There's another $50,000 that comes in various grants that Dan writes. We happen to get. We put in some lead money into that periodically for various things. Ticket sales and revenue generate the other two-thirds, revenue from concessions. So what we try to put together was looking at this more, less of a reduction, sort of look at it any way you want. The half-full glass model is to look at it less of, as a reduction and more as a reallocation. We've been in this business a long time. Reallocation happens every couple of years, and we deal with it one project or another. But those things that are, when a reallocation happens, it's been my experience, and it's a lot of years of experience, that if it's really important, people come to the table and make sure that at the end, in that reallocation, we find a dollar somewhere. So the message that we've been trying to say is in looking at this and saying we're between a rock and a hard place in our college in terms of where those dollars are going to come from. And so today on the negative side of the ledger, we have $50,000, which represents a percentage of salary and a percentage of benefits. But offsetting that immediately for next year, we're going to have some reductions in the cost of other expenses that we have in our college. It's going to be about $28,000 of one-time money next year on the table so that the budget will balance. The message we're trying to say at the end is that to the average consumer on the street, nothing's changed. We'll find a way that you from the outside won't notice that any changes happen. Internally, we'll know that there'll be differences. I've met with the president, the current president of the Friends of the Ross. We had a meeting and we shared this concept, sort of a five-year plan with him. And I'll be meeting with him and Dan and some other reps from the Friends of the Ross shortly to sort of formally adopted and looked at it. Ross, the Friends of the Ross are going to try to increase their contribution annually, a small amount each year over the next 10 years. And it's not to say that, you know, 4 or 5 years from now the economy will such, but we still might have a deficit. But we, you never say never. But our plan is to say we're not going to sustain a $50,000 cut. But in terms of the one-time dollars that we have to help with that, over the next 5 years. These are not things that I'd be able to put into a tenure track position, if I had to drop a tenure track position, or just to support, an academic program, because I have no revenue for that. Here there are revenue possibilities, and there are ways in which we can be much more creative, I believe, engaging the campus. Those of you that know and work with me know that we can find ways to find collaborative programming. University Academy is something we talked a lot about, and it's still in its germinal state. We've delivered one or two courses, and how have we been able to do that? All the people that said this is important have put a few bucks on the table, and we've been able to do it. We did a very unusual one this summer. We did an unusual, we did a wonderful course last spring. We have one scheduled for next spring. So if you look at the Ross in the same sort of category, this is something that's valued by all of us. And I don't say that questioning you. I mean, I know it is. Then let's put our heads together and figure out. It's not, if we had to find another $5,000 or $10,000 a year, a couple of years from now to balance this budget, could we not find that by much more collaborative efforts with programming that we're doing, programming that we can do, maybe put our heads together in terms of some putting, assisting Dan with writing some grants that instead of being this year focused, they're much wider focused in terms of issues. And so if I ask you to take anything away from this today, it's number one, the fact that there's a value for the Ross on this campus, but the given its entity, it is not something that can be sort of sustained without some sort of a long-term financial plan that involves everybody who wants to be part of that, who feels its support. And on the other hand, please know that this college has not abandoned the Ross. In fact, we have a plan that we put up there. And I'll be happy to share the details if you want to come and walk you right through the numbers in another meeting sometime. That to the extent we can control it, we want to be able to make it as if dollars will shift, but nothing will change in the way of programming next year. We might reduce some things we're doing within our budget, but they're not things that we don't think will impact programming. So I'll stop there and give you a chance to ask me questions. I'll do the best I can to answer them for you. And the information I can't get, but you want me to get, I can certainly dig it up and get it for you.
Are you familiar with other film centers like the Ross that exist on other state university campuses? Whether or not you use state money?
Yeah.
Or are they self-supporting and the grants come?
That's a good question, Dwayne. I can't say that I am. I know we did do some sort of a comparison looking at how they fund directors and so on and so forth. For those who run campuses, we've got varying degrees of ways in which those things are done. I'm not aware, and certainly if I can stand to be corrected here, of a university that does this completely on state money. And again, but I can't answer your question and give you specifics. I'm not at this point.
Miles. I got a couple questions. So if APC recommends to Chancellor Perlman to keep this money, how would you react? It sounds like...
In other words, to not make the cut?
Right.
Well, then I have to see what Harvey has in mind for our college. And then I can tell you how I can react.
Okay, then that leads to my next question. Is some of this organizational? I mean, Barbara Diebenard wrote an eloquent letter, and she mentions the Artist Residency Diversity Program, which is... I don't know how many years ago that was cut.
Right.
So this college, your college, has been responsible to some degree for providing the tools that Dr. Vance talked about to help students in the campus encounter diversity. Is that fair?
The Art Diversity Residency Program, the cut predates me, although we found ways for the first 4 years I was here to keep Ron Nolan.
Well, my question is, so here's the Hickson College is responsible to some degree
right.
for making this tool available to
the Yeah, at this point in time, the Ross is solely, our college is solely responsible.
Should it be? That's my question. From a Queens perspective, since this is a service to the whole campus.
Well, that's what we're getting at in terms of some of the suggestions that were made. This maybe is something that should... I don't want to speak for my dean's college.
Well, I want you to speak for
me. I can speak for myself.
Okay.
But many people have heard me say, and our strategic plan is very clear about this, we see our mission as a parallel dual thrust. One of them is for the artists and artist teachers, the preparation of those people who are going to earn degrees for the future. We believe that we have a strong commitment to this campus for the artistic and quality of life artistic quality and the quality of life in general for the campus and for the community. And we put that in a parallel thrust, understanding that we do that with the resources that we've got. So in the case of the Ross, you know, some of these things, philosophically speaking, there are things that are important to us. But if you look at the multifaceted aspect of the Ross and the fact that there are lots of people that might be taking advantage of it, and many more who would like to, maybe that's a different conversation. And certainly we could have that conversation. And whether or not it means I'm going to go convince Harvey not to take that $50,000, I mean, my college at this point is going to have to come up with it somewhere. And if you ask me, I'll be very honest with you. I have to go on the side of defending a tenured faculty program where I have degrees, particularly when my choice is to have something where we think more creatively about budget management, revenue generation, wider student engagement, wider faculty engagement, that $50,000 seems like a lot of money. And it is, don't get me wrong, it's a chunk of money, but it's not an unmanageable reduction or reallocation. When you look at reducing the cost some $25,000-$28,000 in the budget, suddenly the impact on the Ross's budget 3 years from now, if you just take the reduction, isn't 50, it's less than 30. And then you say, well, now we're going to cost share that for 5 years, and then try to find a way to make up that 30 in various ways. The challenge is very different.
I think the answer to the question
is the other members of the committee, Shelley.
You or me? Jack, there are no academic programs within the College of Fine and Performing Arts that are affiliated with the Ross. Is there a relationship between Film and New Media and the Johnny Carson Theater?
No more to the extent there than some of the other things we've talked about. There's a natural tendency, but the challenge we face right now in terms of that particular question, let me put it this way. There should be a stronger relationship between the Film and New Media program and the Ross, but the types of interactions that there have been, Dan has offered an opportunity, for example, for our students to screen films once a year. Twice a year for the students who make those films. But the relationship has more been event organized than in the
same
wider,
as it is with film
the
studies,
wider fabric
studies
of the community. Matter of fact, I would argue on film studies behalf that there's probably a stronger interrelationship between the Ross and that curriculum for film studies students than might be for film and new media students. And it's not to say that we shouldn't have a better relationship. That Film and New Media program is young. It's less than 10 years old.
12.
Yeah.
Michelle.
Okay. My understanding from these letters is that about 90% of the budget is from ticket sales, grants, donations, any foundation, that sort of.
Right.
Is that correct?
It's all what you might call soft money or non-state
right.
budget. But the only state dollars in the program right now, before the cut, is Dan's salary, $8,000, almost $8,000 in operating money, which is, will remain in the program.
Okay, but my question is, can you talk a little bit about, has that percentage, that not about 90%, has that remained the same for the past few years? Has it increased? Has it decreased?
It's been about the same.
About the same.
Yeah. Proportionally speaking, it's about the same. Let me just give you some quick numbers to explain it. Ticket sales. Our budget for ticket sales this year was about $212,000. When I say budget, that's sort of the revenue we've gotten.
And students are not charged.
Students are charged for regular bills.
For regular bills.
Yeah,
okay.
Remembering that there's also a distinction between the daily operation of the Ross and the specific events that you heard about today. People come to the Ross to see a movie, they buy a ticket.
Regardless.
Our students get a student fee, and Danny's done some very creative things having student nights where he gives them a buck for concessions and a buck for a movie, and I think we've gotten some increase of students because of that. But this year we generated about $56,000 in concessions. So the total in concessions and ticket sales is about $250,000. The total in grants and so on, including the contribution from the Friends, is about another $9,800,000. And so
before factoring Danny's salary in, it's about two-thirds revenue from ticket sales and concessions and about a third of the soft money side, which includes all those other things, gigs, grants, blah, blah, blah. So if you add that other $50,000, it's going to skew that a little bit, but those numbers have been pretty stable for certainly since I've been here. And another thing to remember is that, you know, the Ross was in the Sheldon, which most of you know about that, and for the year when they had the construction, we had some costs, but no revenue, so we had no theater for a year, and we're still working through that.
Jack, does that figure on grants and other revenues that have come from that source, does that include the revenue that comes from film studies and student fees?
No, well, no, because the film studies, it's, there are some things which we sort of put in a sub box. Film studies, the arrangement with them right now, and again, probably, just want to be sure I get it right, but for the films they show, they do not occupy a revenue-generating time. They do them within the school day. They pay the projectionists directly, and they contribute a small amount for maintenance and operating for us in terms of the cost of the materials. We do get a grant. In the grants, we get money from UPC, about $5,000 a year from the Union Program Council, just general. And then the Movies on the Green, which you see basically is a zero budget item that there's a grant to support it. We get some UPC money for that, and that sort of pays for that overhead. The Visiting Filmmakers is essentially a zero budget item because Dan will get some grants to support those things, and we put some Nixon League money periodically into that, and so on and so forth. But the basic operation of the theater, that's essentially where the revenue is.
So if I hear you correctly, Dan Lavely's salary is essentially going on soft money, but...
About 80% of it.
Right, but at least at the moment, unless he chooses differently himself, we're in no danger of having him... the loss of his services.
No. As a matter of fact, we have made it from the very beginning. We're not trying to let anything happen.
Okay, I just want that for the record.
Danny is not losing his job, and his job isn't being cut back. We just have to figure out a different way.
Right, I understand.
The dollars in place.
Okay. The second thing I'm a bit concerned about is this question about the grant, the Hickson Lead grant. As I hear what's been testified, there's no legal commitment to provide a salary for the director of the REFRA Ross, but is there an ethical one?
Let me answer that with two pieces. One is it predates me, okay? So I don't know to what the extent that arrangement was. However, the other answer to that is we've already communicated with the family before this cut was made. So this is not a surprise to them, okay? I'm not sure whether they like it or not, but nobody has come up and from their point about, and Lucy Bontaine Comine, who's our foundation person, made the connection. She's got the connection with Mary and Mary's nephew, I think it is, who really manages the dollars. I mean, the understanding here is that we want to do everything we can to make this survive, but we've got to figure out a way to do it, which is different than we're going to cut Dan or put him on half time or reduce the programming. And so on. It's a bit different. What I hope comes out of the conversation is a wider acclimation about the importance of this for the academic mission, but more than just words. I'm hoping that as a result of the conversation, we'll have a much wider action between and among people on the campus who see the value, who will swarm over and say, Jack, how can we figure out some things? And I'm more than happy to do that. And I'm hoping we can generate some revenue from some of that. Again, if you're saying we're trying to get $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000, that's a lot of money. But if you find ways in which to adjust your budget and so on and so forth, then what you're really trying to find is another $15,000 at the end of the year to really ramp up what's already there in terms of student involvement and expand on that, I think there's ways to do that. And I'm really open to those conversations. We have to think about that and how we operate Kimball Hall. Kimball Hall pays for itself. Mm-hmm. The Lead Center right now is struggling with the same thing. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody will deny the value of the Lead Center to this campus, to the state of Nebraska. But at the end of the day, you got to turn the lights on. You have to be able to operate the business.
Well, it seems to me a something that has been brought up, and I believe Miles referred to it, is the, and it's clear from earlier testimony, the impact goes much farther than just the Ross as a provider of films, because one of the core missions and statements of the university is indeed a commitment toward diversity. At least it seems what I have heard here is that this should not only be in the charge and purview of the Hickson Lee College, but should be a university-wide concern. Perhaps the Ross needs to, perhaps not to take anything away from your college or your administration, but perhaps there needs to be a broader viewpoint of this resource and point of view of the university's programs than just keeping it in the Fine Arts College.
I'm open to any conversation about that. I mean, I just, let me see how I say this without sounding wrong. I mean, there's nobody will deny that diversity is a very important thing, but as far as I'm concerned, if it's a campus-wide thing, I'm open to ways in which to work with the campus to further cement that through this vehicle of the film.
Well, I guess we're saying the same thing. It just seems to me it should not only be the responsibility of your college. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right, yeah.
Okay, Jay.
I mean, there seems an issue here that, you know, we have zero faculty from your college here, to the best of my knowledge, and seven from arts and sciences. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it seems that, you know, more concretely than it's a university priority, it's an arts and sciences priority. It's something which we have heard testimony that it is central to the mission of the College of Arts and Sciences.
Also.
Well, but I would say, among others, architecture's not here today either, but they have a strong
view. Yeah, you know, I'm just saying that it seems like it's a historical accident. It seems to me that the Ross happens to be under Hickson Lee because of its original connection with the Sheldon, which is somehow much more directly sort of, whereas it has now become the case that it is faculty in arts and sciences who are, you know, today declaring passionately their support for the Ross and desire that it be abundantly clear that it is something that the university has a commitment to.
Barbara?
This is just a comment. I want to thank the faculty who appeared here today for their very articulate responses and also for informing all of us of the really engaging work that you do with students to help them understand their larger place in this society and their larger commitment to human diversity of all kinds, and truly appreciated that. And I've seen a number of those films, but not all of them, and I was eagerly writing down a number of the names, and I appreciate your engagement with that curriculum.
Okay, there's a young man here who wants to speak, and also Professor Montes, did you, Professor Montes? I'm now considering this additional testimony.
Oh, I was going to say, we're pushing the end of our time commitment here.
Oh, we're almost near. I'll give you each 1 minute.
Mine's going to be really short. I think the three of us were just confused in the sense that when Dean Mahiva was talking about whether it is integral to the academic programs on campus or not, or peripheral to, we just want to reiterate and remain strong in saying that yes, it is integral to academic programs across campus, and it is important to the core mission of the university. So we just want to make that very clear.
Okay, thank you. I think it is.
No question.
My name is Saravanan Raju. I don't know how to work. I'm a graduate student of computer science and engineering. I'm here to support the Ross and their efforts. But I don't speak as staff on campus. I speak as a student on campus, not affiliated with a single department. I speak as a citizen of the Lincoln community. The two places on campus that can change my life when I walk in and walk out, the library and the Ross. I can walk into the library. It takes discipline. It takes effort. But they wouldn't let me have popcorn or pop in there. Ross, it takes, and they wouldn't charge me a fee to get into the library. They would charge it probably as part of the fees or something. Ross, on the other hand, it doesn't take as much discipline. It still takes some discipline, but not as much. Two, I still can have my popcorn and pop. And it can change my life. I can go watch a movie there, and I can walk out, and I can come as a different person. Movies like, there was no way that for me, as an international student, an Aspen student, to have watched a movie in, say, Mongolian, or Korean, or Japanese, and walk out with a perspective that I wouldn't have had. Or, even better, walking with a perspective that was totally wrong, and then walk out with a different perspective. And that is very important. So I hope the university, depending, do more to support the Ross and not less. And I do have one more request. Please don't increase the fee, sorry, to be charged for students, and that is not to the same center. So if there is any other way to, for instance, I'm going to become a member of Friends of Ross. But please don't do anything that will be a distance to a student to come to Ross. That's all.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I guess, are there any other statements to be made? Thank you all for attending, and thank you for your time. We will meet tomorrow.